Today's gospel passage belongs to a larger discourse, one we often call the Sermon on the Mount. At its conclusion, the Galilean crowd remarks in amazement, "Jesus taught as one who had authority, not like the teachers of the law." What Jesus said in these moments, these teaching moments, gave a different, refreshing perspective on God and on life. In Matthew's gospel, this sermon is 3 chapters long. It begins with Jesus telling the crowd who've gathered to hear him, "Blessed are you. Blessed are you," but he lists multiple circumstances, some of them challenging circumstances, and then he suggests ways to spot that blessing. For example, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." The discourse continues with encouraging concepts like, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Jesus offers some practical do's and don'ts. Follow the commandments, he says, but go beyond them to the intention of those commandments and do not sin in your heart. And he says, acts of piety are meant for God, not for man, so don't make a big show of your offerings or your prayers or your fasting. Store up your treasures in heaven. And then he says, and do not worry about anything, about what you will eat or what you will drink or what you will wear. Now, we who live in one of the wealthiest nations on earth, who do not lack for clothes in our closets or food on our tables, we hear that and we probably think, okay. I won't speak for anyone else here, but I know that I would not starve if I couldn't get to the grocery store for a month. My pantry shelves are stocked. Now, the meals might get a little creative at the end of the month, but I would not starve. If our electricity went out and we couldn't draw water from our well, I could easily go for a month or more without washing clothes. There's enough clothing in my closet. But I wonder how Jesus' audience heard those words, because many of them were day laborers who lived hand to mouth. "I got 6 kids at home, Jesus, but don't worry about feeding them. Don't worry about needing a new cloak when the one I have is threadbare." For that matter, how do the poor of our world hear these words today? Because today, too, there are those who don't have enough for tonight's dinner table, don't have warm clothes, warm coats or waterproof boots or a house where the roof doesn't leak. If the gospel is good news to the poor, well, I hear good news when Jesus says, "Blessed are you." I hear it when he says, "You are the salt, you are the light." I hear it even in the caution against public displays of piety and the metaphor about heavenly treasures. But how do the poor hear good news in the directive, "Don't worry about what you will eat"? In Max Lucado's book, You'll Get Through This, which the Monday night Bible study's been reading, Lucado tells the story of Joseph from the book of Genesis, interspersed with his own reflections and some 21st century parallels. Do you remember the story of Joseph, one of those 12 sons born to the patriarch Jacob? Joseph was despised by his brothers when he received from his father a fabulous, many-colored coat. Because he was his father's favorite son. His brothers stripped him of that beautiful cloak and then sold him to slave traders who took him to Egypt, where he became a servant in the house of Potiphar, a high-ranking official in Egypt. And then Potiphar's wife took a liking to Joseph and made advances toward him, which he rebuffed. And then she accused him of attacking her, and he was imprisoned. Joseph had plenty to be bitter about, plenty of reason to be angry and sullen. He had lost everything. He had lost his family. He had lost his status. He had lost his homeland. He had lost his freedom. But Joseph chose instead to praise God and to trust in God. And God continued to supply Joseph with what he needed. Even in servitude, he worked hard and proved himself trustworthy and above reproach. God gave him the ability to interpret dreams, which one day led to his release and earned him favor in Pharaoh's eyes. Even so, he consistently turned the attention back to God. The dreams he interpreted predicted a famine, and so Pharaoh put Joseph in charge of the harvest and the storehouses. But even more than that, Pharaoh gave Joseph a new family. He gave him a cloak. He gave him his own signet ring, symbols of the connections that had been severed with his own birth family. And then Joseph married an Egyptian woman, and when his sons were born, he named them Manasseh and Ephraim, names that mean, God made me forget, and God has made me fruitful. Names to celebrate his gratitude for the events that came after hardship and loss. Joseph may have lost family and status and even freedom, but he never lost hope. And he never stopped thanking God. And when he looked back, he could see the ways that God had carried him through. And there were surely days and months and even years when Joseph could have worried about what he might eat, about what he might drink, about what he might wear. He made the choice to align himself with God and to trust in God. So maybe we find good news for the poor of the world at the end of today's gospel passage. The part that says, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. You see, from God's perspective, all we need, both individually and communally, has already been supplied. From the dawn of creation, everything this world needs, God has provided. There is enough in our world for every soul to be fed and clothed and housed. There is, if we see the world as God sees it, as one single household economy. Last year, I had the good fortune to hear lay servant Trina Halstead give a sermon in which she talked about Jesus' glasses, the notion that when our hearts are tuned toward God, we can see the world and its people as Jesus would, through a heart full of love and compassion. So perhaps some of the good news in the Sermon on the Mount comes when we put on our Jesus glasses and we look around to see not only what we have, but what others lack, and realize that, like assembling a jigsaw puzzle, we can match our abundance and their needs and make this big household economy work. Maybe the good news for the poor is not that the poor need to further impoverish themselves, but that the needs of the poor can be met when the wealth of the world is shared. Of course, it does require that all of us put on those Jesus glasses Trina talked about. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement from which our United Methodist Church is descended, had great compassion for the poor. Wesley believed it was the duty of every Christ follower to gain and to save wealth as much as they could in order to give as much as they could to meet the needs of others. Wesley derived his ethic on wealth from the premise that everything ultimately belongs to God, and resources have been given into our care to use as God directs. And while God knows that we need to nourish and clothe and otherwise care for our own bodies, Wesley also believed that spending resources on luxuries for ourselves, while others remained in need, that's not only robbing them, but robbing God. Wesley's words. Friends, as our nation approaches Thanksgiving Day, I invite you to join me in putting on Jesus glasses. I invite each of us to thoughtfully examine our lives and realize the abundance that is ours, to give thanks for all that we have, to give up worrying about what we don't have, and give all that we can to meet the needs of others in our world. and that may be food, and that may be clothes, and that may be money, and it may be time, and it may be friendship, and it may be wisdom, and it may be prayer. What we have to give takes many forms, and it may change over time. Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and the picture and the pathway will become clear. Amen.